Now, do you want to know how much he suffered? Come back with me to 2 Corinthians. And he still is. Do you know that the vast majority of Christendom wants nothing to do with this man? I've had so many people call and write and say, Les, I've always been told to almost hate this man Paul. Really. Had a lady down in Georgia that wrote, she said, my, until I started listening to you, I hated Paul. I had both my daughters convinced to hate him, but she said, you've changed our thinking. Well, they went alone. I've heard it for the last 20 years. Well, my pastor says he doesn't even want to preach out of Paul. My Sunday school teacher says he shouldn't even be in our Bible. So I know whereof I speak. But look what the man went through so that you and I can have this great salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 22. And the reason he had to write this was that the Corinthian believers were also turning against him. The Corinthian believers were saying, well, Paul, who are you? We can see that Peter spent 3 years with Christ. We'll listen to what Jesus said, but you're an imposter. And so he had to constantly defend his authority or his apostleship. And that's what he's doing right here. He is defending who he is and what he is in God's operation. All right, verse 22. So he's referring back to the 12 as well as some of the other Jerusalem, such as Apollos. And so Paul says, are they Hebrews? Now remember, he's talking primarily about the 12. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Now he humbles himself, I speak as a fool. Well, what's his answer? I'm more. He is head and shoulders above the 12 because he is now the designated apostle to go to the Gentiles. Israel is going to slip off the scene. The 12 are already losing their authority and all the things concerning Israel are falling through the cracks. And now we're coming to this whole new unfolding of God's grace. All right? So he says, I am more, in labor more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths or near death often. Now imagine, look what he went through. Of the Jews, 5 times I received the 40 stripes save one, or 39. Now you know what that was? Those 39 lashes with the cat of nine tails with sharp metal on the end normally was enough to almost kill a man of youth and full strength. This man went through 5 of them. Can you imagine what his torso looked like from the waist up? Because see what they would do? They would take 20 lashes from the front and drag it up the back. They would take 20 lashes from the back and drag it up the front. So that by the time they were through with those 39 lashes, that torso was hamburger. And he went through 5 of them. 5 of them. Near death? Often. All right, read on. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I remember that poor kid in Singapore a few years ago. My, the world cried because he was going to get a few lashes with a bamboo rod. Hey, the apostle took that 3 times, which again was enough to kill a good man. But he survived it all. All right? Once he was stoned up there in central Turkey, in Derbe and Lystra, they dragged him out. And do you know that the Greek in that is literally dragged him out? Like a dead horse. They literally tied a rope to his feet and dragged him out of the city for dead. That's what the apostle went through. All right, read on. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. Those of you who were with us on the Mediterranean a few years ago, you got a pretty good idea what that was like. A night and a day I've been in the deep, and then in journeyings often, he was never home to rest up, in peril of water, in peril of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, the Jews, in perils of the pagans, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, and beside all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, or those little assemblies that he had been founding throughout the Roman Empire. Listen, that's what that man suffered for the sake of the gospel. Just for the sake of the gospel. Well, let's come back. Come back to Acts chapter 9. Because we got to follow this man now to the place where he becomes the revealer of what he calls the mysteries. Now, invariably, when I have people try to debate with me that I maintain that this is totally separate from this, and they try to swing the church up into the 7 years of tribulation, I always have one answer for them. Have you ever studied the letters of Paul? Well, no. Have you ever made a study of the mysteries revealed to the Apostle Paul? They don't even know what I'm talking about. Well, here we go. Acts chapter 9. He's saved in a moment when he realizes who he's been trying to oppose, that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And then you come down to verse 20. After he has been relieved of his blindness and he's been fed, yes, he's been baptized according to the Jewish economy. Verse 20. Straightway he preached Christ in the marketplace. That's not what it says. Where does he go? The synagogue. I mean, he's a Jew. He has no idea yet that God is going to give him a message for the Gentiles. It was Ananias that God spoke to. And so Saul of Tarsus has no idea that he's going to have a particular ministry to the Gentile world. And so as soon as he recognized that Jesus was who Peter, James, and John had been trying to tell Israel that he was, he thinks he's going to continue right on in the gospel of the kingdom. And so he goes to the synagogue, to the Jew. Now look what he preaches. Now watch your Bible carefully, because I just told a teacher the other day, you got to shock people once in a while. And the best way to shock them is have them read their Bible, and then you put something in there that's totally off the wall. And then that wakes them up. All right, look at what your Bible says. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God, that he died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead. No, it doesn't say that. He doesn't know that that's gospel. The only thing that was gospel so far was that Jesus was the Christ. See that? Okay, let's move on. And all that heard him were amazed that even this old persecutor had come to that place. And so they were amazed that this was the one who had destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and he came hither, that is, to Damascus, for that intent, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength, confounding the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the Messiah, the Christ. That's all he knows. Just exactly what had been revealed during Christ's earthly ministry, that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. Nothing about his death, burial, and resurrection. He doesn't know that yet. Okay, now move on. After many days were fulfilled, now we don't know how long, a couple weeks, the Jews took counsel to kill him. That is, the unbelieving Jew, not the little company of believers like Ananias, but the rank and file of Jewry, now detesting Jesus of Nazareth as much as Saul had before, now they want to kill him. They're just as religious fanatic as he was. All right? So they took counsel to kill him, but their lying await was known of Saul, and these Jews watched the gates day and night to kill him. So then, knowing that he could never get out of the gates of the city, these believers, like Ananias, and who were also adherents of Jesus of Nazareth, these disciples, not the 12, for goodness sake, these are just simply believing Jews in Damascus, took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. What a way to start a ministry. Horror! How would you like to be dumped over a wall of a strange city in a foreign country in the middle of the night? But he was. All right, now then, we have to pick up a gap between Acts 25 and verse 26 by going to Galatians chapter 1. Now go to Galatians chapter 1. And here Paul picks up, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, remember? He picks up the account from his conversion outside of Damascus, and after they let him down the wall in a basket, where did he go? Well, he tells us right here. Galatians 1, verse 11. Now I wish I had all night. I really do. If I had the voice and the strength, I would just keep going until morning. Here we go. I certify you, brethren. Now here again, we always have to qualify. Who is Paul writing to? Gentile believers up in central Turkey, in the area called Galatia, Asia Minor. And to those little congregations who were now being bombarded by the Jerusalem church, who were believers that Jesus was the Christ, but they're still under the law. And so I feel the leadership of Peter, James, and John, they are sending people into Paul's little new founded congregations under grace and trying to put them back under the law. And that's why the little book of Galatians was written. Because Paul was so alarmed that these Judaizers were coming into his little congregations and trying to put them back under Judaism instead of free from the law, putting them back under. So he almost hurriedly has to write this little letter to the Galatians. And the whole theme of these six chapters is, you're not under the law. You're under grace. You don't have to keep circumcision. You don't have to keep the dietary laws. You don't keep what the law demands. You're under grace. Okay, so now let's look what he says. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, that is, to bring these Gentiles out of their paganism, the gospel which is preached of me is not after or does not follow other men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hold everything. What does revelation mean? Oh, an unveiling. A pulling the tarp off of something so that you can see it clear and plain. Where's Jesus Christ? In glory. He's in glory. And the ascended Lord is now revealing to this man this whole new concept of grace, separated from everything pertaining to Israel. And it all pertains to primarily Gentiles. Yes, Jews can be saved, but they're not very likely. But nevertheless, this was a whole new revelation that no one had ever heard before. And consequently, the Holy Spirit has prompted the apostle to use the word then, the revelation of the mysteries, the secrets, things that were kept in the mind of God and not to be revealed until this man came on the scene. Now, let me take you back. Deuteronomy. Keep your hand in Galatians. Come back to Deuteronomy 29:29. Because I have to have scriptural authority to do and say what I'm doing. Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. All right? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Now, secret means a secret means a secret. And what's a secret? Something that nobody else knows anything about. So secret things belong to the Lord our God. He's sovereign. He can keep things secret as long as he wants to keep them secret. Now read on. But those things which are revealed. What's one of the other root words of being revealed? Revelation. See? But those things that have now been revealed, that are a revelation, belong unto us and to our children. Now, of course, Moses is writing to Israel, but nevertheless, the whole concept of God keeping things secret goes all the way up to the Apostle Paul. And this is what he means, then, that how by revelation. Now, so that you can see what I'm talking about with regard to things being kept secret, come back with me before you go to Galatians, to Romans. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now, I've had seminars all over the country this summer, and I've asked every one of them, and I'll ask you, have you ever heard a Sunday morning sermon? Have you ever heard a Sunday school class that used this verse? And if I get a hand here, it'll be the first one from here to Atlantic City. They never do. Nobody. Nobody. Okay. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, and the preaching of Jesus the Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the secret, which was kept secret since the world began. It says what it means, and it means what it says. That to this apostle was made a revelation of things kept totally secret from the time of creation until it was given to this man. Now, I'll give you another one. Ephesians. You got your hand in Galatians? That's just a couple pages to the right. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. And we're going to get right back quickly to Galatians. Our time is running out. Verse 1. For this cause, in other words, because of all he's written in the first two chapters, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you what? Gentiles. See? The prophets wrote to Israel. Jesus and the 12 ministered to Israel. this man ministers to you and I, the Gentile. And isn't it amazing? I'll tell you what, the devil is so coy. When this apostle says that Satan can transfer himself into an angel of light, it's almost an understatement. Why do you suppose if everything pertaining to the Gentiles is between Romans and Philemon, Paul's epistle, then why is 90 to 95% of your Sunday morning preacher across the land out of the four Gospels? Think about it. Hey, the devil knows what he's doing. They can preach the four Gospels till they're blue in the face, and you won't get Pauline doctrine, because that's Jesus addressing Israel under the law. And my own pastor's guilty. And once in a while, he'll get into Paul's letters, and I'll ask him to weigh in, how long are your deacons going to leave you in Ephesians? 2 weeks, and he's back in Matthew. And he's not alone, because all you have to do is look over that congregation. When he's in the four Gospels, they're sitting there, you know, right on the edge of their seat. You get him into the teachings of Paul, and they're almost falling asleep. Hey, the devil knows what he's doing. This is the apostle of the Gentiles. See? All right, chapter 3 again of Ephesians. So he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you, Gentiles. Now the word Gentiles isn't in there, but it's certainly implied. Now then, here comes verse 3. How that by what? Revelation. By a revealing, he made known unto me, the apostle of the Gentiles, the mystery, the secrets, the things that were never mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. And so that's why, again, when they tried to jump the church up here into the 7 years of tribulation, they're flying in the face of what Paul is teaching. Because, see, this is not part of the mystery. This was all back in prophecy. But we're dealing with things that were kept secret since the world began. And that puts us in a place all by ourselves. And you can't push this up into the prophetic program. You do violence to Scripture. And all the manuscripts I keep getting, I got one a few years ago from one of the NBA basketball stars. Now, I'm not a name dropper, so I won't give his name. But he gave me a manuscript that thick. The Chicago Tribune had a headline that this guy was looking for the soon return of Christ. And that was admirable. But I went through that whole thick manuscript, and everything that he was using was the top line. The top line. He was quoting everything from the Old Testament, from the four Gospels, a couple from Acts, and the rest from Revelation. And he almost totally ignored Paul's letters. And so I wrote him, I thought, a real kind letter. And I said, you know, I admire you. You've done a lot of work. You've done a lot of study. But you've missed the ball. You struck out. You never went to Paul. You are in the Old Testament program concerning the second coming, which was all true. But he had nothing so far as the rapture of the church before the tribulation began. Okay? So, back to Ephesians chapter 3. How by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery or the secret things of Christ. Now what's he talking about? How that when Christ died that death of the cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. You won't find that. Oh, I know John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But that's as far as it ever went. But this man gets right down to the nitty-gritty how that Christ from eternity past was designated to go that way of the cross, to be raised from the dead, to bring salvation not just to Israel, but to the whole human race. You won't get that until you get to Paul's revelation of the mystery. That's why Paul also then refers to the rapture as a mystery. It's a secret. The rest of the scripture knows nothing of the rapture. So how in the world can they teach it out of the Old Testament or anything like that and put it back in the middle of the tribulation? Well, you can't. Because Paul alone teaches the rapture, and Paul alone says it will come before the Antichrist does. But oh, they love to mix it all up, and the angel of light, the God of this world, is reveling in it. We're getting more confusion about end time things in the last 3 years than I can think of in years gone by. And I can show it to you from our mail. Of all these manuscripts and these books that are coming out, putting the church into the tribulation. Garbage. That's what it is. Because this man says, we have nothing to do with what God's going to do with Israel. Thank God. Oh, man. I don't see why these people want to put us in the tribulation. That's going to be hell on earth. You know that, don't you? Now, I don't want to go in there. Okay, back to Ephesians, and then we got to keep moving. Ephesians chapter 3 again. So he says, whereby when you read verse 4, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery or the secrets of Christ. Now watch verse 5. Plain English. Which in other ages, generations, was not made known unto the sons of men. See how plain that is? Nobody knew anything about this, as it is now revealed through his holy apostles and prophets. Now, he doesn't claim to be the only apostle. Barnabas was one. I think Silas was one. And they all got an understanding of these things. All right? Then I want you to bring down to verse 9. He's writing all this to make all men see what is the fellowship of the secret, which from the beginning of the world, from Adam, has been, what? Hid in God. The same God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, you got the picture? This man had revealed to him things that no one else in human history ever had a clue. Now, the Lord knew, of course, but I'm talking about the 12 and so forth. All right, back to Galatians chapter 1. They let him down in a basket in the wall of Damascus in the middle of the night. Where'd he go? Well, now he tells us. Verse 13, he said, you've heard of my conversation or manner of living in times past in the Jews' religion. He was a persecutor. And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church or that Jewish assembly of believers in Jerusalem and wasted it. I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals my own nation. In other words, he was accomplishing more from Judaism and he was cashing in on it monetarily. I think Saul of Tarsus was probably wealthy. But after his conversion, he chucked the whole thing and counted it but trash for the sake of the gospel. And that's when I think he lost his family. Yes, I think Saul of Tarsus was married and had children. He had to have been if he could vote to put these people to death in Acts 26, I think it is. And in order to vote, he had to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, he has to be married and have children. But all that went down the tube in order to keep the gospel going to the Gentiles. All right,